The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Wrap. Hello, Neil.
Good morning, Steve.
How's life? All right?
Very, very good indeed.
Okay, let's talk about young players.
Yes.
And more specifically as well, an article that was written pre the game against Plymouth at the weekend, which sort of wrapped around the whole idea of how Liverpool as a football club is growing over the coming years. So this was Jonathan Northcroft in conversation with Jurgen Klopp and Pep Linders as well. And it's a truly fantastic piece, isn't it, for anyone who didn't catch it?
It's brilliant. It. Really worth trying to get your hands on a copy of it. You've got the Times in front of you. I'd forgotten how big the Sunday Times was.
Massive,
until this piece.
How do you hold the Sunday Times?
How are you meant to deal with all of that? Steve's currently just trying to get that boxed off.
Oh, there's his face.
There's Klopp's face, not Jonathan's. So Jonathan's is there as well, but much smaller. Which is a bit of a shame.
Among the very sort of notable lines he's put in here, he said, "At Liverpool," this is Klopp, "we always try and do things differently. We try not because it's about being different, but because it's what we believe in." This is in reference, isn't it, to bringing through homegrown or nurturing talent? Is it a little bit in reference to that?
I think it's nurturing talent more than it's bringing through young, just simply homegrown young players, though I think he wants to clearly do that as well and sees it as part of the same process. I think it's important to reference this as a choice, and it's a choice which is both a short-term choice and a long-term choice. You can argue that it's both, but it is one which, you know, for instance, I think it's unlikely, with the possible exception of a wide forward, that Liverpool go into the transfer market this window. You know, Liverpool have had a couple of questions around centre back this season, but one of the reasons why is because he's not going to put a player in Joe Gomez's way, because he believes in Joe Gomez and he believes in this process of harnessing talent and developing young people and developing footballers as people and as footballers in general. You feel not just for the idea that they play for Liverpool, but the idea that they go on and all have very, very good careers. For instance, that's how he refers to Kev Stewart within the context of the article, is that it doesn't feel as though it's necessarily nails on Kev Stewart still playing for Liverpool in 18 months, but Jurgen Klopp thinks...
I feel it's almost the opposite in what he said.
He thinks that he's going to be playing for a Premier League club,
yes,
and doing well.
A very good club.
And that is... But that's what he wants Liverpool to be part of. And again, I'm very much in favour of this, but I think we've got to be quite clear that this is not necessarily, therefore, a fast route to success. You know, Liverpool, possibly you can make an argument, you can make a series of arguments that Liverpool right now could do with maybe bringing two players in, maybe even three in this window. Jurgen Klopp isn't going to do that, and there's no point at which he's going to do that. And that is part of the philosophy, and it's part of being Jurgen Klopp, and it's part of what he wants his Liverpool to do. And that is, again, further emphasised by the interview with Pep Linders, where, you know, this idea of creating paths through to the first team is writ large for these players. But if these players therefore get a path through to the first team, then it means that they literally need to play for the first team. And that's part of what I think it's no coincidence this interview comes out and is done in the context of the third round of FA Cup game against Plymouth. And I expect Liverpool to play exactly the same side, if not perhaps even more younger, conceivably, in the second leg against Plymouth, the replay. I think that will now be the case, and I think that therefore everything you do as a football in a football club, it has consequences. And if you say this is our philosophy and this is what we believe in, then it means that you're therefore ruling other things out. It doesn't mean you're putting a big black mark through forever. It doesn't mean Liverpool are never going to buy another footballer. But what it means is you're not going to take quick fixes. And that's what's crystal clear within this, is that, yeah, I mean, and a philosophy can be, well, I just see football. I could be a football manager who sees football as a series of quick fixes. That's all I do. I just do quick fix stuff. That's what another football manager might say. And so therefore say, well, this sort of thing, this isn't what I want to do. I need to get results. I've got results to get tomorrow. I've got to win.
I think that's 90 to 95% of football managers, isn't it? The quick fix generation.
Football
doesn't allow for time now.
I think they'd like to be Jurgen Klopp. A lot more football managers than I think we probably think would like to be able to be Jurgen Klopp and put forward these arguments and put forward these ideas. But they're left in situations where more often than not they need to be closer to I'm trying to think of the right sort of manager. It's quite... Because Klopp's position's so idealistic and because it's easy to get behind, what it does is it means that you can frame other managers who aren't like that, and it can almost feel as though it's a criticism of them. It isn't. It's just a different approach, and it shouldn't be seen as there's one pure route, because Jurgen Klopp's route, it may well, as I say, be the one that the romantic in us and the person in us who loves people like to get behind. But it's very much one that's easy to discuss on a Tuesday morning with Steve Hothersall on the radio and say, isn't this all wonderful and sunny and great? And then on Saturday afternoon, when I'm watching Liverpool draw in a frustrating manner because they haven't got into the market and bought someone, conceivably, then you can be annoyed and you can say, well, hang on, I want to watch my team win football matches. So I think I like and I agree broadly with almost everything that Klopp says in the piece. It appeals to me as a person, as someone who believes in the development of people, who believes that, for instance, that we put too much pressure on these young people, who remembers what he was like at 17, 18 and 20 and 23, that people develop at different times, and that the pressure that and the maturity we expect footballers to have. And, you know, you just look at Woodburn, Ajaria at the weekend. I mean, I couldn't have done that when I was 17, not just simply because I'm not a good enough footballer, but because my head would have gone.
Yeah, because they're just young boys.
They're just young boys, exactly. And you can say, well, they're fearless on the one hand, but then not all young boys are fearless. That's just not the case. There might be some knocking around who at the minute aren't ready for that sort of exposure, but might be when they grow as people in the 2021, and that's something else he cites in the piece.
Funnily enough, just going back to, and I did an interview with Trent last week, and he said one line which really stuck out to me. He said, I've not been able to lead a normal life.
And he won't.
He said that, and I thought, oh, what an odd thing for a 17, 18-year-old to say. I certainly wouldn't have been anywhere sort of near that in my brain at that point in time.
No, but also he also is aware of the fact, and it's almost sad that he won't, that it's not just that he hasn't been able to up to this point, but he's not going to be able to between the ages of 18 and 36 either. That normality, he's effectively chosen a path for his life, because Trent Alexander-Arnold is undoubtedly going to be a Premier League footballer, and he's probably going to be a Premier League footballer starting games for Liverpool, I think. I think he looks like a genuine talent who can play at the level that we want to be at. But what all of that means isn't just, and he's aware of that decision, and again, that's it's actually quite a philosophically deep position to have, to right now know, not only do I not have a normal life, but I've chosen a path for a variety of reasons, which means I will never have a normal life. I'll never have an existence that's... Yeah. And he knows that now. There's more than enough examples knocking around. Rooney's just broken the record, Bobby Charlton's record, Gerrard's just gone, it goes back further than that, Jamie Carragher, that these men did not have normal lives, that they had extraordinary lives in some senses, but in other senses they lacked the sort of freedoms that you and I, you know, the ability to just simply go and do certain things that you and I just get to go and do, they just don't, will not get to do. It's highly unlikely, and if they ever do them, then there's every chance they get put under a microscope and get accused of letting their club down, or letting themselves down, or letting Jurgen Klopp down. All of this, I think, as I say, I think it's remarkably complex, and it's good that the Liverpool manager's engaging with it. And as I say, I mean by broadly is I 95% agree with everything that he's saying. I think, though, you know, the converse of that, and this is worth remembering, that I actually don't think Liverpool are going to buy a single player this window. I don't think it'll happen. Whereas I think that it's possible that if Liverpool did buy a certain player and they got it right, it could lead to them getting 4 more points in the league. Now, you might say, well, what's that then? So you spend 20 million and you agree a package of 80 grand a week to a footballer. That's £4 million a year over 4 years. That's a £36 million investment. And you're saying that's worth 4 points. Well, yeah, but that could be the 4 points. That's the difference between first and second. But Jurgen Klopp doesn't want to do that.
But you think there is a mix to be had?
No, I think that Klopp's approach is, as I say, 95% the right one. But that I think every now and again there's got to be a moment of pragmatism. Now, there's lots and lots of variables in this. It might be that quite simply there isn't even the idea. The way in which I had a conversation on one of our shows about this, what I said was, I think that Klopp's waiting for the 8 out of 10. I think Klopp wants a wide forward, and he'll get one either this window or he'll get one in the summer. And I think the wide forward he wants to be an 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 lad he wants. And in the past, Liverpool managers, other football managers have been guilty of buying a 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10 option.
The knee-jerk buy.
Yeah. And the way I'd phrase this is, I just wonder if maybe this window, if the 7 out of 10 becomes available, maybe Liverpool should just do it. And then have the attitude of, we'll see if it works for this fella or not, and we'll have a sense of that by the summer, and if we need to do a quick turnaround and get rid of him, it's a bit of a loss, then we can find a way to do that. And I don't think Jurgen Klopp will do that, by the way. I think that's what won't happen. But at the minute, not just with Mane, because I think when Mane's been here, I think the idea of being able to freshen that little bit more, being able to have that option off the bench a little bit more, I don't think Ojo is ready. I think he could be in seasons to come. I really like him. I think he can play really well in flashes. But I think there's two things that are noticeable so far. He's played his best football with Daniel Sturridge on the pitch, and Daniel Sturridge may not always be on the pitch. And I think the second thing is that not being ready right now is okay, but Liverpool needs someone who can not just cover for Mane, but be an alternative. It's not just the idea of this African Cup of Nations, but it goes beyond that. You know, Mane could come back from the African Cup of Nations with an injury, he could come back knackered, he could come back, be fine, and break his leg 3 weeks later, and suddenly it's the end of February, and Liverpool are doing the last 3 months of the season without genuine pace in wide areas, as an example. Now, again, all that's hypothetical, and you can make that argument about any area of the pitch, but the manager's been quite clear, pretty much since he's come in general, that he doesn't feel as though he's got quite enough quality in wide areas. But it's highly unlikely in January you get your 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 option.
Does it feel like Liverpool of old, where you don't quite know who these targets are? Whereas in recent years, we'd have had a proper identity and a finger on the pulse as to who was going to come in. All of a sudden, it seems now that sort of there's work going on behind the scenes that we haven't really got a clue.
Maybe, but the names have been the same names for ages. Julian Brandt, Christian Pulisic, and I think there might be one other. And then there's the idea of this lad Promise, who's knocking around in the Russian leagues, who we might have an eye on, but might not, and it's not quite clear. And Wijnaldum seems to be cheerleading for this lad quite noticeably, because it's his mate. But, you know, that he wants, and this is what I mean, I think he sees Pulisic as a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. That's his absolute ideal. But he's not going to get him. He's not leaving Borussia Dortmund. In the last 16 of the Champions League, Dortmund aren't going to let him leave. Yeah, there's a contract running down and all of that sort of stuff. But I just think it's not in Dortmund's interest to be seen to be pushed around by Liverpool, the former manager, whilst they're struggling a little bit this season in sixth. What, this fella just gets to swan in and have our players on our young talent on the cheap? No. So
you see that as a summer deal coming to fruition?
That could be a summer deal, but then there's an argument to say, well, you can say that you've got to wait for the right player, or because we believe in all this, and we believe in development, and we believe not to block someone's path, and we believe so on and so forth. But, and this is, as I say, this is why all of these choices, when you make a choice, when you commit to a philosophy, you commit to a project, you commit to an idea, what you do is you rule things out. Liverpool could do with that footballer right now. Liverpool could do with Christian Pulisic right now. If he's as good as Liverpool think he is and think he will be, Liverpool could do with having him in the squad right now. He's made something like 17, 18 appearances for Dortmund this season so far. So Liverpool could do with having that lad right now, to be able to pick against Manchester United at the weekend, to be able to pick against Swansea, to be able to pick next month against Hull. Liverpool could do with having him, but they're not going to have Pulisic. So then it becomes a choice. So we either say, right, we wait for the guys, whether it's Pulisic or Brandt or the other one whose name I've forgotten, who we're committed to and we think can be a real asset for the club for 5 years, who won't just get in someone's way, who bring something, or they could say, right, we can win this league. So what do we do? Got a big choice to make. And that's where it's not, as I say, when you, and this can, so for all, whilst, as I say, I agree with it 95%, maybe even 98%, I agree with it. I think it's fantastic to see Liverpool doing it. There's no point getting into an arms race with Manchester United and with Chelsea and with Manchester City. You've got to be different. You've got to find your own path. You've got to find that sort of way. And that's what we want the club to do. And we agree with all of that sort of stuff. But let's not act as though, firstly, it's the only way you can run a football club, because it isn't. And secondly, that it's the only, that it will therefore inevitably lead to results, because it may not, and in fact it may actually inhibit results occasionally. And this window here, with the questions that whirl around, are part of it. And I'm sure if Klopp was here now, I actually think he'd go, you're right to think that, but this is the way we're going to do it. So we do it our way, we commit to our way, because I'm not going to compromise, and I'm not going to ask my coaches to compromise, I'm not going to ask my young footballers to compromise, that we have a one club mentality, and that's how we're going to do it.
Do you think when these young players turn out again against Plymouth in the replay, you'll see a marked improvement from them as an entire sort of bunch of players playing together?
Possibly, but maybe not. It might take longer than that. It might not just be one game. I suspect there'll be certain things, and where I feel a little bit about the young players, I think the issue that they have, I think if Sturridge starts, Liverpool win the game 3-4-0. And it's not just because Sturridge is better than Origi, though Sturridge is better than Origi. Although we could have started in place of Woodburn. But what I'm saying is, I think that what they lacked was someone up front with experience. who's good with young players, and Sturridge is all of those things. And I thought you saw the difference when he came on. And when they were playing good stuff for the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and they were playing good stuff, and they were pushing Plymouth back, what they needed with that was someone to convert, to help convert that into a genuine goal-scoring chance, which is what Sturridge would have done, or just convert it into a goal, which is also what Sturridge would have done. And I think that if he starts, Liverpool go on, they win the game 3-0, and we're saying, God, weren't they all great? But they were left. Origi's got his own game to worry about, and he's not, we've seen anyway in the last sort of 6 weeks, he doesn't quite suit all the movement, the flitting around. He's got tons and tons of strengths, but he doesn't quite suit that. But he's got his own game to worry about. We forget that Origi himself's only 21, 22. He's another young footballer who's trying to work out what sort of footballer he is. Well, Daniel Sturridge knows what sort of footballer he is, and he also knows how to tailor that around the lads that he's playing with. And you've seen it repeatedly. I mentioned before Ojo. You saw it at the back end of last season when Liverpool were, for instance, going to Bournemouth and winning 2-0 or 2-1, and Sturridge could have had 4 or 5, but Ibe was on the pitch, Ojo was on the pitch, and all game he was bringing them into play. He went and just did 10 minutes to play right wing next to Ojo and help him through when he was finding it a little bit difficult. And then Liverpool saw the benefit of that when Ojo's performance grew and grew. And I think he's great with the youngsters. And I think that had he been able to start up front, which he couldn't do because he gets the knock against Sunderland, because we've got this game coming up against Southampton, because of United, then I think we win the game 3-0. And now we're all very much and ahhing. But I think the other thing that happens is, you play well for half an hour if you're Ajaria. And I thought Ajaria was really impressive for the first half an hour of the game. But it doesn't convert. And then you begin to get a bit worried and a bit anxious. And you know, hang on, we've got all this ball. They're penned back. Why can't we score? And what you need is someone on the pitch, even if it hasn't happened after half an hour, is able to turn around to you. And you know it's Daniel Sturridge. And you've seen everything he's done, to say, it's all right, just keep going. And there wasn't an attack anyone to say to turn around to the other Liverpool players and go, it's all right, lads, just keep going, it'll come.
Although Divock Origi should probably have shown that extra bit of experience to them, shouldn't he?
Well, you want to say that, but what I would say there is, yeah, I don't think he's got 50, he certainly hasn't got 100 first-team appearances under his belt. You know, so, and again, he's concerned, he's got Daniel Sturridge coming up behind him, he'll know himself, listen, my game's around goals, I've got to get results. Whereas I think Sturridge, one way or another, Jurgen Klopp knows the sort of footballer he is. He's going to change as a footballer. Footballers always do, but he hasn't got anything to prove, if you know what I mean. There was nothing that a goal against Plymouth could prove to Jurgen Klopp from Daniel Sturridge's point of view, if you see what I mean. Whereas if you're Origi, you think, I just want to stick the ball in the net. That's what I'm here for. I'm worrying about me. Whereas Sturridge would have been able to say, well, I worry about all six of these lads. And it was interesting when the Plymouth player was sadly down injured and was getting the treatment and getting the oxygen treatment. Sturridge went round all the young players on the pitch and had a chat.
Ah, really?
And it was something. And as I said, it's gone dead. I think one gets called over by the manager, and Sturridge goes and he speaks to Woodburn, he speaks to Ajaria, he goes round and speaks. He speaks to Origi as well. He speaks to, just goes and has a chat with a couple of people.
Bit of a fatherly role, bit of a mentor.
Yeah.
Right, we're just coming to the end of it. Just very quickly, so FIFA recognised Liverpool and Dortmund yesterday with a fan award for their game, of course, which took place in the Europa League. Mark, I mentioned the other week that game with Leeds and the atmosphere and how it really sort of, I felt a bit down, to be honest, in the way that there was no atmosphere. And I felt that again during the Plymouth game. That's such a marked contrast between that sort of European high and that low of that FA Cup atmosphere at the weekend. And it's quite hard to bridge that in your head, I think, at the moment for me.
But I think it's hard in general for supporters. I mean, I think we've just gone through pretty much, not just for the footballers, but from the supporters' point of view, the most intense set of Christmas fixtures you could ever have. And I was certainly going to Anfield. I mean, you know, I'd like to think at least mildly funny on some of our stuff, saying that's the first game of football I've watched in 3 years sober. I just turned up and went straight to the ground. Got out of bed, left the house, went straight to the ground. And I think we can all be noisier in the ground and all that sort of stuff, but it is worth pointing out that Everton away, Stoke at home, Manchester City at home, and Sunderland away, under the circumstances that we're under, with the pace that Chelsea was setting, with the way in which this league is this season, it hasn't been more intense than that. And I think people just wanted to watch some young footballers play some football. That's straightforward. That they didn't want to have to go and sing and cheer. Because, and it's easy to say this, and you can sound like an absolute idiot if you say it, but you've gone through what I felt was a ridiculously emotionally intense period supporting a football team. It shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like that in December. It shouldn't be like that in December and January. Listen, that's March, that's April, that's May, but the running is, the starters pistols fired in this really strange way because Spurs have won 5 on the bounce, United have won 6 on the bounce, Chelsea had won 13 on the bounce. That now felt like it was the rate that you had to go at. So yeah, I think that is going to happen where, you know, the other atmospheres are flat, because what matters for Liverpool is that the away crowd's fantastic against Manchester United, that if the lads need help against Swansea, they're there for them. Because we all know what matters. What matters isn't the Football League Cup against Southampton, and what matters isn't the FA Cup against Plymouth. What matters is the Football League, and Liverpool have got a fantastic chance of winning it. They've got through the Christmas period, and that's where the intensity's got to be, and that's where the intensity will be.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.